bring Mr. Hitchburn on. Michael, I'm sorry you had to see that. it's a great way to start the conversation, though. How are you, my friend?
Well, if I wasn't awake before, I'm awake now.
By the way, I wanted to play your Real Men of Genius spoof, but I can't play it off my phone.
You can't?
No. And I went in this morning thinking, no, he sent it to me on Signal. If you send it to me on Signal, we'll play it.
Okay, I'll send it to you on Signal then.
Yeah, you guys, you'll get a kick out of this. Just a quick update, because we had promised that when Michael was going to be the guest on this show, and I teased it yesterday in our promo for today's show, that we were going to break a major, he was going to break a major, major news story here on the Crusade Channel, and it was going to go out on Lepanto Institute and probably LifeSite News and other places like that. And this story is, and I told you when we talked about it 2 weeks ago, I don't even want to, I really don't even want to be a part of the announcement because it's so sad and it's so sick. And it's just so revolting and vile and unbelievable. But the good news is for the Lepanto Institute, and hopefully then for the children that were that are involved in this and others that may be prevented from being involved in something similar. I hope I'm being vague enough. The Epic Times is going to debut the story. So it's embargoed again until Thursday, right?
That's correct.
So what can you tell our audience of what they're going to see Thursday at the Epic Times, and maybe you come back on and we'll do it too?
What I can say is that this is a national story with implications that go all the way to Rome, and it has to do with the theme of the month and not the Sacred Heart theme.
Okay. folks, you... we cannot prepare you for the gravity of this report. Nothing could prepare. Even if it didn't go to Rome, let's just pretend for a minute it didn't go to Rome. Let's just pretend for a moment that it went to Brussels, to the EU building. It would be equally as disturbing, wouldn't you say?
Well, absolutely. It's look, the movement that is currently occupying this month is shocking in many different ways, but people are becoming desensitized to it, unfortunately. And the implications of this movement and what they are doing physically is also extremely shocking. What people may not recognize or know or understand is how deeply embedded in the church this has become.
Oh, I understand it. Let's talk about that graphic image that I sent you. That flyer. I talked about it yesterday. I did an Instagram reel on it and a TikTok reel. Should be coming out to a smartphone near you. And that is, they're going to have this just you struggle to find words to describe just how awful this is. This pride mass on the Feast of Corpus Christi at Duquesne Holy Spirit Chapel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I don't know who do you know who the bishop is of the Diocese of Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's Bishop Zubik.
He has to stop this.
Yes.
He and he alone. This is in his diocese. He must stop this. If he doesn't...
he's complicit.
Well, if he doesn't, you know, I don't want to... He's a bishop. He's my superior. I don't want to call him a groomer, but if you don't stop this, if you don't say, no, you can't do this, and the idea that you've even conceived of it should bring some disciplinary action down on this priest and these two deacons. No, it's three priests. It's three priests that are now involved.
Mm-hmm.
And by the by, just because it's not at St. Mary Magdalene Parish, which has all of the moral implications, which is why they would choose St. Mary Magdalene for obvious reasons to do something sodomite or sodomitical, it's happening at Duquesne. Well, Duquesne is also, Duquesne is a saint.
Yeah.
It is another one of these Catholic schools that most people don't even know. The only reason Americans know Duquesne is from the NCAA March Madness tournament. But it's a school that sometimes makes the 64. it does make him complicit in this. So I'm just wondering why we haven't heard that this has been quashed.
It's the same reason why the gay parish up in New York hasn't been quashed by Cardinal Dolan. It's the same reason why, you know, pride masses that are taking place in almost every diocese in the country, and let's not fool ourselves, this is a national problem.
Mm.
You're not going to find many bishops that are going to stand up and actually do the right thing. There's a parish in San Francisco. Archbishop Corleone is one of the best in the country.
Yep.
But there's a parish, Most Holy Family, that is it's notorious for its LGBT activism. There is video of the what's that drag queen group? The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence attending mass and going up and receiving communion.
And this is an Archbishop Corleone. I mean, he's like you said, he's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
A listener, a friend, just sent me a note saying Bishop Zubek has denounced this.
Has he? Good.
That's good.
Denounced it, but you know he has to stop it. Yeah. I mean, he has to threaten that priest with saying, I'm not just saying that this is bad, but you, Father, who are going to do this thing, is going to find himself without a job and without a collar if he continues on. This is a sacrilege. It's a sacrilege because they're making a mockery of the mass. But if Bishop Zubik isn't going to step in and say something along those lines, if he's just going to wave his hand and say, I denounce this. This is not good, you guys. That's not good enough.
You do that very well.
Well, I hear a lot of whining. I have children.
You have more children than the last time we spoke. Okay. Let's go one baby step at a time. So if Bishop Zubik says no, you can't do this, I denounce this is a sacrilege. This is what you would expect him that's what he would do. And again, we shouldn't be patting the bishops on the back and going like, "That a boy, yeah, you go get him. You go get him, your excellency." No, he's supposed to do this. It's like going out and shaking the garbage collector's man's hand or patting him on the back after he picks your garbage can up. This is what he signed up to do.
Instead, they're giving a weak, limp-wristed push on the shoulder and going, "Oh, you stop."
So, this is happening so at so many places now, and it's so widespread. You know, we thought last week, you know, we're doing this campaign. I don't know if you saw the Lifeside News story about Celebrate Humility Month. We have yard signs with the Sacred Heart flaming, and then in the center is a actual real family. Man, woman, two children, right? Somebody had pointed out that on Twitter, so 15 corporations that last year had rainbow colorized their logos and not rainbow colorized them this go around here. And that all may be true. We may have reached peak homo in corporate circles only because it's near complete saturation. I mean, we should be patting ourselves on the back going like, oh, they're finally coming in our senses. No, they're not. Maybe the money is running not quite as high as they thought it was going to. Maybe they don't want to be boycotted. Maybe they don't want to lose shoppers. Maybe they really don't care if a bigot spends their money there and they actually want the bigot's money. But you cannot say that in public, just in general public, with celebrations and parades and drag shows and what have you, cannot say that there are less this year than there were the previous year. That's just not true. here in Southwest Louisiana, I'm not going to mention any names. Maybe I should. Maggie and I just happen to know the proprietor of a very popular brew pub who, for Pride Month, is going, and this is in Lake Charles, this is in Calcasieu Parish, Louisiana. This is one of the most conservative, and I might even say overtly kind of Catholic parishes outside of Orleans and Lafayette parishes in the state of Louisiana, is going to have a drag show. Okay, replete with all the rainbow regalia and rainbow beer and the whole shebang. So you can't say that in public displays that this is not, if anything, it's on they're on the march. It's on the rise. And why is that? Because when you agree, and if there's any pair of men that have discussed this at great length and have already covered what I'm about to say here, it's me and you, my friend. Mm-hmm. But just as you and I have discussed many times, and as you know and I know and our listeners and our viewers know, and your email and your supporters of Lepanto should all know by now, when they agree to this, the individual, when they're using their free will, when they agree to this, and there is the patina of evil, and it is by definition evil, then they're agreeing to the pride, they're agreeing to the sin of the Garden of Eden. Go ahead and eat it. You'll be like God. That's why he doesn't want you to eat it, because you'll be like him, right? They have agreed to the first sin, and they have to broadcast it. By its very nature, this sin must be broadcast. That should be shocking to all of us, that we now see so many millions of people actually broadcasting it, Mr. Hitchburn.
Yeah. The way that the devil operates is that he wants us to become like him in right. The same way that God wants us to remain like him. So it's the devil always operates on an inverse proportion. He can't create something new. He has to pervert something that exists. So the Imago Dei, which is the image of God, which is what we possess because we were made in his image and likeness, in us, we are supposed to be a reflection of Christ. That's why the reference in Scripture says that we become like gold in the goldsmith's pot. You know, the goldsmith looks into the crucible, and only when he sees his reflection does he know that the gold is pure. That's why we become tried by fire, you know. So we are refined like in a fire for the purification, so that we can give or reflect the image of God. The devil, on the other hand, wants to put us in eternal fire and have us secured in a reflection of himself. That's why he said to Eve, you shall become like gods, like one of us, like one of the demons, not like God, because you were already made in God's image and likeness. The devil wants us to become more like him. And how do we become more like him? By knowing sin in an experiential way. That's what he said to Eve. He said, your eyes will be opened and you will know good and evil. Did Eve know what evil was? Of course she did. She knew what it was. She knew that if she ate the apple, that it was wrong, that it was a sin. But she didn't know evil in an experiential way. And so that's what the devil was telling her. Your eyes will be opened and you will know good and evil. You will experience good and evil. And so the devil is saying, if you do this, then you will become like one of us. And what does he mean by that? Well, the devil was showing her that he has different abilities, different talents. What happens when somebody's possessed? They have superpowers in a sort of way of speaking.
Right.
They're super strong. They have understanding of things that are either distant or unknowable to them, like knowing a foreign language.
I was just thinking that. I was just listening to Father Ripperger the other day talk about this, and he's, you know, in his own inimitable way, he said, one of the ways that we know when someone is actually experiencing real possession is when they start bellowing out in foreign languages that they have no possibility that they could know.
Right.
This, it was, and he, because you touched a nerve, because I just heard him, the foremost exorcist in the United States, say exactly that. If you know someone that's experiencing that, you need to get them help quick.
Absolutely. But, I mean, we have a superhero craze in this country.
That's right.
Where everybody is excited about the guy with the next set of powers, whether it's lightning powers or super speed or super strength or invulnerability or whatever it is. The fact of the matter is that somebody who is perfectly possessed, or somebody who is possessed because they want to acquire some sort of power or talent, does acquire, to a certain extent, a power or talent lent to them by demons. So there's a problem with that very idea of superpowers. But we see this, and we see what's happening, and you have to understand that demonic possession, in a very real way, is the demon's mockery of the incarnation. The demon wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like the Most High. And St. Michael said, well, who is like God? Now, what did the demon mean? Well, you know, he wanted to be like the Most High. Why? Well, the Most High said he was going to become incarnate. He was going to become a man. And he was going to do so through a blessed virgin. And the demon said, well, I want to do that too. God said, no, you have your own nature. You will not have two natures. You can't change your own nature. And the demon said, watch me. And that's exactly why demons possess human beings and angels don't. So you have the angelic nature. You have a demonic nature. The demons possess people because they want to be like God. They want to possess that imago Dei. They want to imitate. But it's a perversion. And that's what we're experiencing now. This whole Pride March, everything. These people are possessed, in a sense.
Let me just share something with the audience, Maggie. You can grab this from Dreher's Substack if you want to burn people's eyes. Kevin Dalton tweeted this out yesterday, and Michael, this is part of the problem. But there's two things in this tweet that I here, let me screenshot it. Well, you have a Twitter account, but it's just easier to screenshot and I'll shoot it to you and Signal here. There's two things. First of all, there is the act of what's actually going on in the back of this pickup truck here, which is revolting enough, okay? This is in a parade that children, the Pride, quote, Pride parade, close quote, that children are attending. There's a couple of things that Kevin Dalton, who tweeted this out, has not picked up on. And he says this, I don't care what consenting adults want to do. I do. I don't want anyone to go to hell. I don't want anyone committing mortal sins in the name of sex. Our Lady of Fatima told Sister Lucia, more souls are lost to hell as a result of what, Mr. Hitchburn?
Sins of the flesh.
Sins of the flesh than anything else. They're like, and she said, you can watch them fall. They're like snowflakes that are falling into hell. There are so many of them. So, Kevin, you should absolutely care about what consenting adults want. What if a pair of consenting adults have designs on your kid? Well, they're consenting adults. Yeah, but the kid didn't consent. But you said consenting adults. You see, this is how they invert everything. Everything becomes, even maybe this Kevin Dalton guy may be a good person or think he's a good person, but he's given into the inversion. He's allowing the inversion to work. This is part of the problem here. So that's one thing. Number two, something else you should notice in that photograph, the guy that is half naked and is strapped and is being beaten by the other dude. What is he strapped to? Do you see that? That's a St. Andrew's cross.
Oh,
you see that now? With pride flags attached to the top of it. This is a sacrilege. It's a blasphemy. This is using, again, the iconography and the beauty of the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church and Catholic rites and the story of an apostle himself. This is just blaspheming the story of St. Andrew and the entire Catholic faith. This. So for anyone that said this is not aimed at Oral Roberts University, this is not aimed at Rick Warren and the Saddleback Conference. Okay? This is not aimed at the Mormons or the Duggar family and whatever religion it is that they practice. Christian religion is. This is aimed directly at the Catholic Church. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, folks, we are the enemy. If you're a practicing, even if you're falling away, it doesn't matter. The demon know that you're baptized, and they also know that you're confirmed. So they know that you're they view you, whether you like it or not, as the enemy. What these people are doing is attempting, number one, maximum outrage against God and his son, second person of the Holy Trinity, and his Sacred Heart and his Sacred Heart month, right? You agree with that?
Yep.
Maximum outrage. And number two, corrupt as many souls as we can along the way. And they're being successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see this stuff, folks, this is not, you can't, the time where I'm going to build my little hermitage it's the top of a mountain or a very tall hill, and I'm going to dig a moat around it, and I'm going to put Louisiana crocodiles and water moccasins in it, and they're not going to get to me. Dude, you can't hide from them anymore.
Right.
The time for men of the faith to hide or to say it's not my role or it's not my place, that is over. It's past. Dude, you have to pick a weapon up. And the time may be coming where it may actually be an actual weapon. And I'm not just talking about the rosary, which is a weapon here. They are on the march and they're on the move. By the way, to my knowledge, the LA Dodgers are going forward.
Yes, they are.
They're going to do this thing with the Brothers of the Brothers of Perpetual Sodomy. They're going to do this thing on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. That's intentional.
So did you get the link to the Real Men of Hubris?
I did. So why don't we, while we're talking, Maggie, can you play it?
It's a,
you
sent it to me.
I did send it to you. Mm-mm. Hold on.
Nope.
Okay, folks, if you use Signal, just know that you have to cut it. Yes, it is. It's right there. It's right above the thing you sent me from Brian. But here, I'll send it to you again. Just be forewarned, you have to hit the enter button like 6 times for something to post a signal.
No. Operator error.
It's no, unless you're less Dixic like me. All right, this is an original composition here. This is just a little spoof here while we're on the subject of Homo Month and Sodomy Month. Here's a little Hitchborn Brothers production.
Light presents Real Men of Hubris.
Real Men of Hubris.
This Pride Month, we salute you, Mr. Mix Woke CEO Person.
Mix Woke CEO Person.
When conventional wisdom says to stick with your blue-collar, family-oriented customer, you declare that you are anything but conventional or wise.
And you're free, black, black.
For 1 month out of every year, you shirk everything that made your company great and paint your brand in gay blackface just to appease the 7%.
Please don't cancel me!
Men like great beer and attractive women. You gave them swamp water and a meth-addicted golem. And for summer vacation, you tried to sell swimwear for kids designed by devil-worshipping rainbow people.
Wear the ribbon!
And when someone on social media says you're not diversity affirming enough, you'll cave like a hibernating bear.
Needs more rainbows.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh virtuoso of the virtue signal, because alienating your entire customer base and imploding your own brand is hard work. And that's something you can really take pride in.
Mix woke CEO person.
I am totally stealing that, and I'm going to play it every day for the next 20 days. But this is what you have to do. You have to. We all love El Rushbo. You have to. You really have to take Limbaugh's kind of maxim, like illustrate absurdity by being absurd.
Yes. Yeah.
And they hate it when we laugh at them.
Of course they do.
Oh, they can't stand it when they. And I have a song that a Nashville-based musician friend of mine, not Michael Keurig, but Lenny Jorns is his name, wrote many, many years ago. I think he actually wrote it for me. And I play it from time to time. You may have heard it. I think it goes right along with what we're with what we're talking about here. Let me strum you a few bars.
Here's to me. To hitting you in the face with a garbage can. Here's to all the times you pissed me off when I should have took a stand. Here's to popping you in the face with a garbage can. Steal my joy, and that's when I draw the line. I ain't gonna play no more. Here's to me.
Right.
Kicking your
You get the point. Part of what their operation is that they really do want to steal your joy. Don't let them. Don't let them. You know what would really anger them if we just sent them photographs of, wish we could blur out the faces of the Hitchburn family, for example.
There we go.
Hey, wait a minute. Husband and wife and 8 kids? What's wrong with these people?
Yeah, it's like we love one another or something.
Oh, and this thing is going on in Ireland now. Ireland is now given over to so many evils. Once you leave the church, this is a really good example for all you children out there. To when your parents, when your homeschooling parents tell you, don't leave the church. Don't leave the ark. The ark, it's called the ark for a reason. And there's a reason why you don't leave it. When you leave it, then Ireland happens to you. So now the Irish government is now discussing behind closed doors and leaking out as trial balloons the scheme that they've hatched to comply with climate change measures to slaughter 200,000 innocent Irish cows.
Wow.
To remove them from the food chain. And of course, they come, no, lad, we're not going to do it. We're just kind of talking about it. We're kind of floating ideas around of making the Irish people eat green bugs instead of Kerrygold butter. Are you insane? No, you are insane. Yes, you are possessed. This is what happens. So if you want an example, if you want to see it in real time, and you can watch it happening right in front of your very eyes, watch Ireland, because it's happening right there. It is Mike Churchill here on a Tuesday. We're visiting with the founder and president of the Lepanto Institute, whose emails you should follow and website and reports you should follow and also support monetarily and through your prayer. Please go to Lepanto.org.